From NPR News and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Noah Adams. Coming up, the challenges facing Catholic missionaries in Central Africa. But first, the Papal Conclave. Monday afternoon in Vatican City, 115 cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church will enter the Sistine Chapel in a ceremonial procession. This will be their sanctuary, their workplace, in a way their convention center, as they decide who should lead the church after John Paul II. They'll begin with an oath of secrecy, and the world will know the outcome when white smoke rises from a small chimney on the roof and the bells start to peal. We've asked John Allen to join us on the program today as our guide to the conclave process. Welcome, Mr. Allen.
Hello, Noah.
John Allen is the Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter and author of Conclave, the Politics, Personalities, and Process of the Next Papal Election, meaning this very one, right?
That's absolutely right.
Now, as a historian, wouldn't you really like to be hidden away inside the Sistine Chapel someplace in there?
Oh, obviously. I think that's, in a way, the dream of every church historian or every journalist who covers this kind of story. But, you know, the reality is that's not going to happen. I mean, there are elaborate safeguards, actually, that the Vatican puts in place to ensure that that kind of eavesdropping does not go on. And of course, some of that secrecy can be a bit frustrating from the point of view of people who would like to have a window onto these events. But we should remember that the purpose for the secrecy, ultimately, is to ensure that the cardinals have the ability to cast a free vote based on who in conscience they think ought to lead the church. It's, to some extent, the same logic that we have a secret ballot in secular democracies. You know, we don't put TV cameras in voting booths either, because we don't want people to feel there's some kind of consequence to be paid for whom they vote for. It's the same logic here.
Let's talk a bit about the Sistine Chapel. The history kind of takes your breath away. I read it was the site of a conclave first in 1484. What is it like to be in the Sistine Chapel making a decision like this?
It's an overwhelming experience. Obviously, the Sistine Chapel is dominated by that fresco, Michelangelo's fresco of the Last Judgment, and that it is actually under that fresco that the tables will be set up where the ballots are first deposited by the cardinals as they vote and then counted. And that, of course, is intended to drive home the point that this is not just a secular political exercise, but this is a spiritual process as well. Cardinals are making choices in the eyes of God. And I think the reason, actually, part of the logic for doing it in that space, in that very sacred space, is to create that ambiance in which they realize they're not on the floor of the Republican National Convention, and they're not in a smoke-filled room engaging simply in bartering and arm-twisting, but they are doing something that, from their point of view at least, is a deeply liturgical and spiritual act that, of course, unfolds, they believe, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
You spoke about a smoke-filled room. This is the first conclave in the Sistine Chapel after the Michelangelo frescoes have been cleaned, is it not?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So they will stand out at even greater clarity.
Is the creation of Adam the one of the frescoes on the ceiling?
Yes, that's absolutely that famous image, of course, which is in the center of the ceiling, with God reaching out and Adam touching Adam's arm, which of course symbolizes that moment of creation, the creation of humanity. Of course, the famous opening story from the Book of Genesis. I mean, in a sense, those frescoes in the Sistine Chapel are designed to tell the story of salvation history from the very first moment. To culminating, of course, in the death of Christ on the cross, the resurrection, and then the final judgment. That last moment, what Christians believe will be the consummation of history. So it places the cardinals, in a sense, psychologically in that space in which they realize that they are taking part in something that is part of a very grand, divine, cosmic design.
Have any of the cardinals been, these cardinals, been in conclave before?
Well, there are three cardinals who are under 80 who have been in conclaves before, but one of them, Cardinal Jaime Sin from the Philippines, will not be participating. So there will be exactly two men in the room who have taken part in conclaves before. One is the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. The other is an American, Cardinal William Baum.
They write on paper ballots, and the ballots are then burned. Is it true that they disguise their handwriting in some way so people can't tell?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Actually, these ballots, which are a sort of rectangular piece of paper, were designed personally by Pope Paul VI. It has a line printed which says, "I elect for the Supreme Pontiff the following," and then it leaves a blank. Each cardinal is supposed to write in the name of the man he wants to vote for. He is ex in the Pope's rules, John Paul II's rules, it says explicitly that he is to disguise his handwriting, because bear in mind, of course, other cardinals will be doing the counting. These men tend to know one another. It is possible that one of those cardinals might recognize one of his colleagues' script. And in order to preserve the secrecy of the vote, that is obviously discouraged. The cardinal is then supposed to fold the paper twice. He then processes up to the altar, each one individually, calls upon Christ as his witness, who will be his judge, swears that he is casting his ballot for the man who, before God, he believes should be elected. He then deposits the ballot in a chalice. Each cardinal does that. And then there is a very elaborate process for counting those ballots. Assuming that ballot was inconclusive, that is, it does not produce a two-thirds majority, each morning and afternoon they would then proceed immediately to a second ballot. It would be after that second ballot, again assuming it's inconclusive, that the ballots would be gathered up and burned, producing the black smoke that would tell the world no one has been elected. Eventually, we presume, one of those ballots will be successful, a pope will be elected, after which we will see the white smoke.
You know, I have read this and want to check with you a tiny thing. I read that you don't have to be a cardinal to be pope, just a baptized Roman Catholic male. Is that possibly true?
That is entirely true, although you have to be a baptized male who is eligible for holy orders, meaning that you can't already be married. But yes, I mean, it is theoretically possible that the cardinals could elect someone outside the College of Cardinals. Now, the last time that happened was in 1378, and it wasn't a particularly happy choice. It resulted in a papacy that triggered the Great Western Schism, which divided the Catholic Church for several decades. So, you know, it is possible, but I think most people would rate it as quite unlikely.
So surely that would be the longest shot. Would, as some people are saying, the betting favorite be Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger of Germany?
Well, you know, Noah, the trash heaps of history are littered with the carcasses of people who have tried to predict the next pope. I mean, this is hazardous business. Unlike secular politics, we don't have tracking polls, we don't have campaign war chests. So all of this is, to some extent, guesswork. But clearly, based on conversations I've had with cardinals, I can certainly confirm that there is a strong push inside the College of Cardinals for the election of Cardinal Ratzinger. Now, whether or not Cardinal Ratzinger would be in a position to get the 77 votes you need to be elected by a two-thirds majority is another question. I would say that at this stage, that's quite unclear. But certainly, he would have to be on anyone's short list of strong candidates.
John Allen, the Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter. He's the author of Conclave, The Politics, Personalities, and Process of the Next Papal Election. Thank you very much, Mr. Allen.
You're welcome, Noah.